Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
Almost always, we are live right here in the studio in Clearwater, Florida. I am Mama Mac, and with me is my co-host, the amazing, the incredibly wise, and passionate, and purposeful. I got to get your two words in there, Dr. Angel. Dr. Angel Falzone, PhD, licensed mental health counselor. As always, you are right here in this chair and right here in the studio with me week after week. Now we are almost a year and a half into it or more.
We really are. We? It's been such an amazing adventure, too.
Every Thursday night at this time, 6:06 p.m., and every Saturday and Sunday on StarcomRadioNetwork.com at exactly noon Eastern time, Saturday and Sunday, 12 noon Eastern, Starcom Radio Network plays our shows.com. So anyway, catch it. If you miss part of the show tonight, you can catch up on the weekend and always on our website, GoYard2014.org, and the Facebook connection too. We're on there too, aren't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, you can like us on Facebook. Facebook.com/GoYard1340.
There we go. Thank you, Bobby. All those places. So normally I would invite you to text in during the show, but I walked out of my office and forgot my phone tonight, and I never do that, and I was just going in a hurry. So you can call in because it's a live show here in Tampa Bay tonight if you want to do that, and the number is 727-441-3000. If you want to weigh in on what we're talking about, maybe you want to ask a question, maybe you want to comment. Last week's show was all one of our question and answer, our Q&A shows. Quite interesting, wasn't it? Some of the questions that come into us.
We do get a lot of interesting questions. And I love that there's such a broad spectrum of topics that we get.
We really do. And it's fun answering them and discussing those situations. I think we did 9 or 10 last week, and that's quite a bit. We try to do a question Q&A show about once every 3 months or so. So if you missed it, catch it again on our website, GoYard2014.org, which will be up there soon in the next couple days, or on the podcast page here at tantalk1340.com or this weekend. Okay, on starcomradionetwork.com. So we've got a whole new series we're starting tonight, Dr. Angel, and you and I have been discussing doing this series for quite a while, and we have just had other things that came up that we felt like we needed to do first. But this has been something we both are really wanting to talk about. The title of this new series, which is probably going to go on 3 or 4 weeks, is
All About Addiction.
All About Addiction. And we're not just talking about hardcore addicts, are we?
No, we are not. We're going to be talking about a lot of concepts with addiction and kind of dispelling some myths out there, some misconceptions that people might have.
Yeah, so a lot of people feel like addiction is just the hard stuff you hear about. Heroin, cocaine, things like that. People that are hardcore addicts. But you're saying it's not just about that. That word covers a lot more.
It does. That's part of it.
That's only part of it. And then we're talking about all about addiction, right?
Yes, we are.
Okay. So tell us about chemical addiction. What does that really talk about? And there's other kinds of addiction. But, I mean, let's just talk about the one that most people are most familiar with when they associate the word addiction with something here.
Well, let's kind of, before we talk about chemical addiction, let's just kind of talk about what addiction really means.
Okay, that's a good way to start.
Because it can include anything that we do that we feel this impulsive need or urgency to continue doing. So
okay.
It can be something we're putting in our body, or it can be a behavior that we're doing.
Ah, it can be a behavior. All right.
But it's something that's controlling us because we are thinking about it. We are working our ways to get to do it no matter what it's costing us.
Okay.
At the end. You know, we've seen a lot of self-help, like Dr. Phil shows, and you'll see people come on, wives that have racked up hundreds of thousands of dollars in credit card debt and because she felt this impulsive urge to shop. Well, that was a shopping addiction. And she,
exactly.
You know, her family was losing their home and all this negative, but that couldn't stop that need she was having to continue shopping for stuff she didn't need.
Shopping to that degree can very easily
absolutely.
Be an addiction. Can.
And so, because what happens in our brain, no matter if it is a chemical or if it's a behavior, it's altering our brain.
Right.
And so it's rewiring our brain that we need this to exist, to manage stress, to cope, to live, whatever this may be.
How about the person, and I just saw some tabloid headline in the grocery a couple days ago, and I won't say who this person is, who's had so much plastic surgery that her nose is falling off, and that was the tabloid headline. I mean, it's kind of weird. I won't say who it is, but just the same. That can be an addiction, right?
Absolutely.
Something that crazy.
Absolutely. And that's what I think we have to get addiction into a whole new perspective. Like we put it in that box. Crystal meth, you know, cocaine.
Right.
Yeah. Those are addictive chemicals that we can put into our body. But that is not all addiction means.
Right.
And so to answer your question on chemical addiction, that just is referring to anything that it's a psychoactive substance that is crossing our blood-brain barrier. So it's a chemical.
Blood-brain barrier.
That's
a lot to say right there.
It
You're going to have to
I'm
explain
using a lot of big
blood-brain
words.
Barrier, Dr. Angel.
And it's temporarily.
Doing. Thank you, Bobby. All right. There you go.
And what it's doing, it's temporarily altering the chemical balance of our brain.
Okay. All right.
So that's what chemicals are doing. And they don't have to just be that hardcore drug. Caffeine.
Right.
Alters our brain.
True.
Chocolate, you know,
right.
There's a lot of things. Now, there's different degrees of what it can do to our brain.
Sure.
But they are crossing that. So what it's doing is it's psychoactively, it's just meaning that it's working in our brain to release certain chemicals, and we become dependent on those chemicals to get released.
Right. Okay.
So
that explains it.
That is where we start becoming addicted because our brain is wanting more and
more
of that chemical, whatever that chemical is.
And so addiction can even be the person who works out four times a day.
Absolutely.
Or the person who just absolutely gets upset if their schedule changes and they're used to doing certain things at certain times, et cetera, right?
Yeah, there's psychological dependency, and that's the behavioral stuff.
Okay.
So the behavioral stuff is behaviors and activities that we're doing in. Work can be an addiction.
Oh, yeah.
Certain interests or hobbies, pornography, exercise, in which we feel dependent that we have to do this or we're not going to be able to cope or something bad might happen. So we feel this compulsive urge to whatever the cost is to engage
to do
in this
it.
Behavior.
Okay. So would you say that that's what makes something an addiction is if we have that compulsion and we can't really stop. We don't want to stop. We are driven.
And that's
driven.
Well, in that line of making an addiction, which we're going to address a little bit more detail later on, but it's where it's that compulsion that keeps coming to where we feel driven for this chemical or this behavior or this activity because it's feeding in our brain and it's releasing the pleasure centers of our brain and it's altering our brain to feel like we have to have this to go on.
Okay, what would you say to the person who says, well, addiction is a disease? Would you agree with that?
Addiction is a disease.
Okay.
It is a disease, but it's a disease that we have to take control over.
Right. Okay.
I don't agree with the concept. I read when I was reading a lot of research, there's a lot, people can't help being addicted. We have power and control over
That's
our choices.
Right. Absolutely.
So although it is a disease, we can conquer that
we
disease.
We can conquer it.
But it takes a lot of work and
right.
it takes a lot of support.
Exactly. Okay. All right. So prescription meds. Let's talk about those a minute because honestly, with this chemical addiction that we're talking about tonight mm-hmm. and the different addictions, the chemical addiction, as we said a few minutes ago, is so always associated with the really hardcore stuff. And people don't, I think, take seriously, perhaps, how addictive prescription drugs can be.
You know what? Prescription drugs is kind of the blind side of addiction.
Okay.
First of all, we get it from our doctor.
Right.
And our doctor has high education, and they know what's best for us.
So
and
we think.
So we think. And right. that's the mindset. So how can my doctor be giving me something that I'm addicted to? It
right.
doesn't even kind of make sense if you think about it.
Right.
The thing is a lot of these prescription drugs that are used for pain management. Some of them are psychological drugs. There's a lot of different classes. They're controlled substances,
right.
which means they're altering
yeah, define
that brain.
That, would you?
Well, so they're controlled altering that brain, and they're releasing. So a controlled substance is something that it will put your brain in the addictive cycle where your brain needs that chemical.
Okay.
So if you don't keep getting it, you'll start withdrawing.
All right. So it's controlling you. Is that mm-hmm. where the term came from?
It's really, yes. And so
I think some people might think a controlled substance means something you have to have a prescription for.
No, you have to have a prescription for any prescription. But there's many prescriptions that are not controlled.
Okay, so you're defining control has to do with what it does to you. Takes
well,
control
and around, it does
of you,
do that. And it,
right?
It's a substance that has the ability to make your brain keep needing it more and more because a controlled substance, you will get that desired effect. And you might need 5 milligrams of, let's say, Oxycontin or let's say Vicodin, which are common controlled substances that are prescribed for pain.
Sure.
And in 6 months, now you might need 10 to get that same effect. And in a year, you might need 15 or twice a day or double up. And so you build what we call tolerance.
Tolerance. Okay. I have heard it said that when a person tries to stop some, let's say, chemical, whether they be drugs or alcohol, and they go for a short period of time, let's say, and then they go back, okay? And mm-hmm. sometimes they will go back at that same level they left off, right? It's not like starting over. Isn't that correct?
It can happen that way, yeah. Depending
okay.
on how long they use, what
right.
it is, yes, it can start you where you left off or...
Right.
And any degree in between. And so prescription drugs is becoming a huge epidemic in
mm-hmm.
America and
right.
other places around the world. It's blindsiding a lot of people.
Yeah.
Our doctor gives it to us.
Yeah.
And so we have to be careful. Most of the labels, we know when they're controlled because the pharmacist has to circle that quantity and double check it when it's a controlled substance.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
So we need to kind of be aware of what we're taking and when they're controlled and take what we need and not more. A lot of times we have like chronic back pain is the number one reason why people go on pain management.
That's the number one reason?
It is one of the number one reasons.
Well, that makes sense because I've known so many people in my life that have chronic back pain, it seems like, that's just a constant thing with them.
And I'm not saying these medications don't have benefits. They do, but we have to be careful and mindful.
Because
right. they are giving our brain that addictive cycle.
Okay.
And we're going to need them. And so when we've taken these drugs for long periods of time, our body will start going through that whole chemical withdrawal where you'll, you know, the shakes and all those physical symptoms that come with withdrawal. And it can be very painful and difficult.
Right.
Some of the controlled substances we use for pain management, they're in the class of drugs with, like, heroin.
Oh, wow.
And we know how addictive heroin
yeah,
is.
Yeah, wow.
And they're derivatives of heroin. And so we have to be careful.
But a lot of physicians, it seems to me like, okay, I'm just as an outsider looking in on this situation, but it seems like a lot of physicians would rather just prescribe the medication, get the person out the door, bam, go to the next patient. Am I wrong about that?
It does seem like that's how it's working in these days and ages.
Yeah.
You're right. It's kind of a cattle herd almost, it feels like.
Yeah.
And so it's be diligent about your own health. And
right.
if we have to take medications, let's take the minimum amount. And are there things I can do to help myself? So if chronic back pain is what led me in to have to start taking pain management. Maybe I need to start using physical therapy and build up some of my back muscles or lose some weight and some other things that I can do to help myself so I don't have to become dependent on these addictive
substances.
But see,
those things take effort.
They do. They
do. And just putting a pill in your mouth doesn't take much effort. Ah, here it is. Bam, I feel better in a few minutes, right? I mean,
that's true.
And this is the problem, a big problem with human nature, it seems to me, at least in this country. It seems like there's so many people that don't want to make the effort to do anything. I mean, we talk about this on Go Yard all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk about how it does take purpose. It takes realizing that you have to make a change in certain areas and then setting about to do something about that situation, right?
True, and you're right. A lot of people want the easy way out, the minimum effort, the quick fix.
Right.
But when I'm challenging you, it's not always the quick fix. You can be opening doors to a lot of other issues. And before long, it can take over your life.
Absolutely.
And even if the doctor gives it to you, I watch parents lose their children because it becomes that addictive cycle and they start needing more and more and more, and it can destroy their life the same as any other drug on the market.
Absolutely, because it leads from one thing to another, and mm-hmm. we'll talk about that in a few minutes. You know, there's probably not one person that I know that hasn't had their life affected by someone in their life. A relative, a spouse, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a parent that with addiction, Dr. Angel. This is such a common problem, which of course is why we're doing this. But, you know, for those that are sitting out there right now, can you give them any hope that you can get out of this cycle? That
absolutely. The cycle, it's definitely something that can be gotten out of.
Okay.
There is hope. There is freedom, but it's going to take work. It's going to take
work.
Support.
It's take effort.
And yes, it will. And it's going to take building that, you wanting it.
Right.
And putting those people around you who are going to be honest with you.
And see, Dr. Angel, I've known addicts in my life through the years that I wanted their freedom and wanted them to be clean. And they were like, oh, my life's not that bad. You know what I mean?
I do.
And it's like, really? Your life's not that bad? You lost this, you lost that, you lost this relationship, you lost this house, on and on and on and on. You're sleeping in your car, but hey, my life's not that bad, you know? Thank you, Bobby. I mean, seriously, I have known people like that, haven't you?
Absolutely. And the thing is, that is one of the things that makes something an addiction is when it has the inability to limit. We can't limit our use of the substance or our activity.
Okay.
And it's causing impairment in our life.
Impairment.
But here's the thing
I like
with addiction.
That word, impairment.
Until the addict is ready to make a change, change isn't going to happen.
I totally agree with that. And as sad as that is, and as much as some of us want to impose our values on the addict, because believe me, I've been there, done this with close relatives, I understand that it has to be their decision. But it's very frustrating when it's somebody near and dear to you, someone that you love more than life, and that you see them spiraling down. Doctor, that is frustrating.
It's painful, and it is very frustrating.
It's painful.
Very difficult.
Yes.
And that's why we're doing this show, because not only do we need to understand what addiction is and all of what it is, we need to be able to help the addict get help, but we also need to help the people who love the person in addiction.
And we're going to talk about that,
aren't
we?
And we're going to get through this in this whole series, because it is a huge epidemic in our country.
It
You're
is.
Right. I don't know anybody who doesn't have their life affected in some way from some kind of addiction.
Oh, absolutely. And so for our listeners out there, I would like to just say from both of us, and you can add your two cents here about this, there is hope here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There is hope, because it seems to me that people that do spiral down, it seems like eventually, I don't know, you know, they may hit the bottom, quote unquote, 100 times, mm-hmm. you know, whatever that means. But it does seem like there are those that we all know that have turned the corner.
Oh, absolutely. And there's...
I know people that have.
Absolutely. And there's so many stories. And I've heard people who have just, you know, made this huge conscious decision, I am going to do it different. And they really, like, turned that corner and never looked back.
Right.
Which is very unusual, but I have seen that happen to people who've worked through treatment. And I have people that I know that... they have been clean for a long time, but they will continue when their life is feeling those stressors. They'll start going to meetings and find that support because they know that's the support that's going to keep them clean.
And I totally and completely have highest respect for the AA meetings, the
absolutely
NA meetings, the 12-step, the CODA meetings. I've been there myself as far as the Al-Anon, mm-hmm. which is the... friends of,
yeah, that's
family
for friends
of,
and family of the addictions. There's Alateen for teenagers,
exactly.
who have parents who might be in this addiction yeah. cycle. So there are good resources.
Yes.
And we'll definitely get to sharing those.
We're going
to
talk about some of that. And mm-hmm. and so, dear listener, don't give up hope. If this is, if you're tuning in, you're driving down, you know, the street, leaving work, etc., and you're listening to this, and you go, wow, that affects me. I mean, my child or my parent or my friend, you know, is suffering from this, please take some hope right now that we have some answers. Professional people have answers for this. Of course, it takes a willingness on the part of the person who is suffering from the addiction to get involved with their own healing and their
recovery.
And
yes.
recovery. But, you know, there is hope. And that's really what I want to make sure and say at the beginning of the series, Doctor, because it's not all gloom and doom.
No, not at all. And that's why we wanted to do this show.
That's
we need
right.
to put the light where it does feel very gloom and doom.
Yes.
And especially when you're living with it.
Right.
And when you love someone who's in it. Because the addict usually isn't feeling that pain too much.
No, they're not feeling the pain. They may be feeling some shame that causes them to get out there and use again and again and again, but they're kind of not in tune with how everything is affecting everybody around them, aren't is would you
True,
say?
True, absolutely. It's kind of a tunnel.
Yeah.
So what happens is that really their attunement is how I'm feeling and how I can not have any negative feelings. So that's why I'm using or doing whatever that activity
right.
is to give me that positive feeling again. So I'm not allowing myself to feel pain or to really look at what's happening in my world.
Whoa. Okay. That's critical right there. That whole concept, Doctor, that addicts, whether it's a shopping addiction, whether it's a sex addiction, a pornography addiction, whatever it might be, a lot of times it's to escape reality, would you say?
Oh, absolutely. It's to cope with stress or negative feelings or avoiding something that might be confrontational or difficult.
Right.
And absolutely. So when that's coming up, instead of feeling that negative feeling or feeling that stress of not being able to do something you need to do for yourself, you just use or do that activity and then it makes it go away.
Makes it go away. So it's an escape from a reality of what's really going on. And a lot of times people, the fear of having to deal with that reality is overwhelming.
It is very scary, especially for people in the addiction cycle, because I've not had to deal with those negative things in my life, and now I need to get clean, and now I'm going to have to face this crap that I've been shoving to the side for
right.
so long. It can be very
credit card
fearful.
Debt that mm-hmm. is overwhelming, etc., for shopping addicts and things like that, people that don't pay their taxes, etc. Things just have a way of coming back around to bug you.
Yes,
you know?
It does. And it can be a scary thing.
We're going to talk more about all about addiction in this new series with Dr. Angel. Let's take a quick break, do a couple commercials, and get some great songs in here. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com. starcomradionetwork.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
Interesting song choices tonight, Dr. Angel, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Yes,
love them.
Yes, going along with this addiction. And, you know, a lot of people don't think they're an addict, do they?
A true story. It's so true.
I mean, really, we touched on this earlier in the first part of the show. But what's a clue for somebody? One more time, I want you to go over that point. Because there might be somebody listening that go, ah, this doesn't apply to me. I'm moving on to another show or whatever.
Well, you know, and that addiction is that inability to limit, if it's a substance, a behavior, an activity, beyond the need of leading to impairment in your life.
Right.
And we're going to really get in a little bit more detail on what that means.
Okay.
Because addiction crosses all lines.
Right.
It is not in any one socioeconomic level more than the other. Addiction crosses socioeconomic, race, culture, religion. It crosses all those lines.
Right.
And it can be found in so many areas, which is why many of us, most of us, probably all of us, know somebody in this cycle.
Exactly.
And so why do people become addicts? That is probably the number one question I get from loved ones. What happens? Why?
And speaking of that, as a loved one of someone who has struggled with addiction for many years, the parents tend to blame themselves, do they not? Or the grandparents or the relatives or the spouse or whatever. What did I do wrong to cause this person to start using?
Absolutely.
I'd like for you to address that, you know, as we talk about this too.
Well, and that's part of one of the problems is there is a lot of self-blame because the people who love the addict who aren't using have their full ability to think and reason. And it's difficult to understand how this happened.
Right.
And they feel responsible for this behavior, what's going on.
Right.
And so there's a lot of shame, which means when there's shame, we're kind of hiding it as a family. And then it kind of makes it more difficult for support to find truth, to get help.
Truth is hard with the addicts.
Absolutely, yeah. It's hard.
So and much so lying.
that is definitely part of addiction, and we're going to talk about that. So why do they become addicts? Here's the problem. There is not one cause that says, okay, this is going to make an addict, or this is, they
You're
experience
right.
this. It, is, there isn't.
There isn't.
So
no.
There isn't. It can be a variety of factors. It can be a mixture of different factors. It can be physical things. It can be mental things, circumstantial things, psychological, emotional factors.
Okay.
So much can lead
to
addiction.
Is there a tendency to be an addict passed down in a family?
Ooh, we are hitting on that. So there is more vulnerability, not a tendency.
More vulnerability. Okay.
Because there are biological components.
There you go. Thank you, Bobby.
That can give people more vulnerability towards addiction.
Biological components, yes.
Means that we could have that vulnerability, but doesn't mean we have to fall into that. It is not a fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
But we need to be aware of that. So what are some of the symptoms of addiction?
Okay.
Ooh.
Here we go.
The primary symptom of addiction is this activity or chemical has caused significant impairment in someone's life.
And I like that word impairment.
It is impairment.
Impairment meaning you just can't function as well as you should, right?
Reduced functioning.
Okay.
Absolutely. And this person feels as if they have the inability that they can't control their exposure to this chemical or this behavior. Now, getting someone to admit that is very challenging because they feel like they're in control. Exactly. I can quit this anytime. I can stop when I want to. I just don't want to right now.
Hold that thought a second, and we want to remind you, if you want to get involved with the show right now with a question or answer, as we are live on Thursday night here in the Tampa Bay area, you can do that by calling 727-441-3000. Bobby will answer the phone and put you right through to us here in the studio. He's in the control room, and we would be glad to take your questions or comments. We don't always do that, but tonight we are doing that. And so feel free to call one more time, 727-441-3000, and get involved with the show. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there relating to what you're talking about right now. You know, go back to your point you were making right before I had to do that. But
well, now I lost my thought.
You lost your
thought. But it's okay. We're going to kind of keep moving forward. It may come back.
So just the symptoms of addiction.
It's the symptoms. So yeah. An individual, they will experience that craving or compulsion for that substance or activity.
Right. Gambling, whatever.
Oh, that's a big one, yes.
It's a big one, yeah.
And recurrent use of or participation in this drug or activity will escalate the need for their desired effects. So that's that tolerance we're talking about.
Right.
Even activities, you can get tolerance. You'll see like porn addictions, and I've seen it in a lot of porn addiction, that if it starts with small periods of time, and before long I'll get on computers and you'll see, you know, hundreds of hours of stream pornography because they need more and more. So behaviors even can give you that tolerance.
Absolutely.
Shopping, gambling, all of those can still do that to you.
You know, I mentioned before the break about people, and I've known people that rack up credit card debt, I mean, crazy, just because of the shopping. They're depressed, they go shopping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not that uncommon, Dr. Angel.
No. But a lot of people don't see that as an addiction.
They just see it as a way to feel better.
Right.
But then they have closets overflowing with clothes or shoes or whatever that they don't even wear, but they felt better buying it.
Mm-hmm. In that moment, it released those chemicals in their brain. It hit their pleasure center, and they got that release.
And really, that's been a problem with our society as far as finance, plastic money, credit cards, which we all use and we all love the convenience of, but it can cause an ability to buy things maybe that we really can't pay for.
Absolutely. That's just it. And I don't even know if there's a limit to the behaviors that can be addicting.
Right.
Because it's anything that we're doing that's kind of taking control of our life.
Okay.
And so there's so many things that can be. It's that attempts to stop the activity will result in irritability, anxiety, and then if it's chemicals, it could be those chemical withdrawals, those shakes, the nausea. But when they don't get that activity or that chemical, you're going to see that Dr. Heckle and Mr. Jide kind of person come out. It gets kind of ugly.
Dr. Heckle and Mr. Jide?
Did I get
that
wrong?
That was so cute.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I totally got that backwards.
I love it. Dr. Heckle. All right. There you go.
So that's why we're live.
That was cute, though. But, you know, when people do try to stop, you know, a lot of times withdrawal, whether it be psychological or what you're discussing, physical, nervousness, nausea, you know, just shakes, anxiety, panic. They don't want to go through that. So it's like easier to just keep drinking or drugging.
And that's why we have a cycle. It's continually
it is
perpetual
a cycle.
Feeding cycle.
Yes.
And that's what makes it so challenging. Using recurrent use of this substance or engaging in this activity leads to impairment. When we talked about life impairment, we're talking about work. Able to function in our job the way we need to. Maybe you don't have the focus, maybe coming in late, or we're so focused on this other thing, activity or substance, that we're not able to focus at work or be there. Social, we're losing our social relationships.
Why does that happen, doctor, when it comes to, let's say, chemical addiction? Why does that happen, or even any of these other addictions? Socially, why does it affect people around us, and how?
Well, because when we're social, then we can be seen.
Uh-huh.
And people can know what's happening. And
right.
So part of addiction, and we're going to talk about, is secrecy.
Aha, uh-huh. Yes.
And so when I am social, I am risking other people knowing what's happening in my world. So if I don't want them to know, I have to pull back.
Right.
And withdraw.
Right.
And so
isolation.
And so that it'll they can have that secrecy to continue in what's happening.
Right.
So, yes, it definitely impairs social relationships. Family responsibilities. I've seen many families take their food money and blow it on gambling.
Absolutely.
Or blow it on a drug or whatever it is that they need. And now these kids aren't getting their needs.
Exactly. Yes. I've known people that I didn't want to call after 5 o'clock. You know, the old, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Though that means that some people think that they can just start drinking. Let's say, let's just talk about alcohol for a minute.
Absolutely.
Start drinking at noon or whatever the case may. Oh, let's just have a whatever with lunch. And it just continues on through the day. And I've had people in my life that I just don't call them after a certain time. 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Because a lot of times it turns, like alcohol, for instance, can cause people to become angry. Mm-hmm. They can be out of control. They can say things you know they don't mean. And then maybe the next day they call and apologize and whatever. But
they remember.
If they even remember. That's the problem, too.
And then that affects our interpersonal relationships. So our quality of our relationships, we have to hide and keep it secret, so we're pulling back. And then when we're engaging it, you're right, we can have mood instability, irritability. We're not always the best people to hang around because...
Right.
We're unpredictable. Whatever's happening, it's messing with our brain and altering our moods.
Which brings me to this thought, because I've known a lot of people that drink too much. I mean, we all know people like this, mm-hmm. okay? Drug too much, whatever the case may be. And I have found that they tend to make, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just saying this as a lay person, not mm-hmm. as a professional in this like you are, but they tend to make promises and grand ideas, you know? I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to build on here, or I'm going to do this, and I'm starting this new career. They can't follow through, doctor.
No follow through.
That is a symptom of addiction, if you ask me. Would you agree?
It can be, absolutely.
It can be. It's not necessarily.
And actually, it's one that we've even outlined on some of the warning signs to look for.
Okay.
So, because that's absolutely what will happen. They'll make all these great ideas, great plans, and there's not only no follow-through, they may not even remember doing it.
Right. Exactly.
And so it definitely causes the people around them to feel hurt, disappointed.
Right.
There's a lot of negative feelings. And then they don't want to deal with your negative feelings because that's making them feel negative. So what do they have to do again?
They have to drink or drug, whatever.
Or go do that activity. And so this perpetual cycle becomes this feeding over and over. And
it
is what makes it so complicated.
And hurtful for and those hurtful. Around the person who is an addict in whatever area their addiction is. It does affect everybody around mm-hmm. you. And dear listener, if you're struggling with addiction, be rest assured there are people around you that love you and know you and really want you to get some help and get over some of this because it does affect everybody around you.
Affects everything. Yeah, everything that's around you.
Everybody your job, your
you.
Kids, your whatever.
Everything. Your quality of life, your health.
Right. Your health.
All kinds of stuff. All addictions, and I don't use the word all very much, all addictions have the capacity to induce feelings of shame, embarrassment,
right.
guilt, that sense of hopelessness, feelings of failure. So a lot of times when people get stuck in this cycle, it's this doom and gloom. I can never, I will never. They may have that want, but because there's that feeling of hopelessness, they don't have that energy to invest into it.
Exactly.
Because they just feel like it's a failure before, I'm a failure. And they take that on as that shame-inducing identity.
Yeah.
And it holds them chained to their addiction.
Oh, I've known people like this. And then they get on the phone and they feel so sorry for themselves. And they got to call 15 of their closest and dearest friends, et cetera, or whatever the case mm-hmm. may be. And that whole cycle of feeling sorry for themselves, that pity party, that nobody wants to go to your pity party, you know?
It can be a continual pity party. And because they've already had themselves failing before they started,
right.
they won't start.
Right.
And you know, with addiction, there's going to be failure on the journey. So I'm going to let everybody know, very, very few people say, you know what, I'm not going to engage in this activity or use this drug and walk away and never look back. That's very, very,
That's
very rare.
That's rare.
Can happen, but very, very, very rare.
I just had somebody tell me, and I can't remember who it was, a couple weeks ago, I think it was a client, that they used to be such a heavy smoker. And this guy was telling me 3 or 4 packs a day.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I came to a realization one day, this was killing me. And I just quit, and I said, my gosh, you are one of the rare ones mm-hmm. in this world who just woke up, realized what it was doing to him and his physical body, mm-hmm. and said, I'm done with it, and really left it there. Because you're right, doctor, this is rare. People don't do that very often.
And there are going to be failures on this journey.
Oh, yes.
And loving the addict means knowing there's going to be failures on this journey. And when, you know, I work with people in this addiction cycle, we talk about falling. When we fail, we're going to fall forward. So we're going to look at what happened.
I like that.
What was the trigger?
That's a bell ringer, Bobby, right there. We're going to fall forward. I like that.
And if we can learn.
Explain what you meant by that.
So we're going to look at what happened in this failure. Maybe you used, or maybe you engaged in that activity. So we're going to look at what was the trigger? What were you feeling? What led to it? What can we do to prevent this the next time you're faced with a difficult feeling or emotion or this stress?
Exactly.
So that you'll have a tool.
Right.
So that's falling forward. So it's taking that failure and getting more tools so that next time when that same type of event or stress or feeling comes, I have a tool and a plan at this point. You're more likely to succeed.
And I just taught this recently, HALT, H-A-L-T. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. You've heard that?
No.
No, Dr. Angel, seriously.
No, you're teaching me something.
Oh, my, that's amazing. All right.
I looked at you with big eyes.
No, do you know what? I think I learned that in Al-Anon when I was going, because of the person in my life, my relative that, you know, I was trying to cope mm-hmm. with. And they taught this concept, and I love it. It's HALT, H-A-L-T, mm-hmm. when you are feeling hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. Be careful, because that makes you more vulnerable to your addiction, whatever
Absolutely.
That might be. HALT. Now you can use that, doctor.
I like that. And those are great trigger times. You're right. That's true. So falling forward. So there's going to be failures on this journey, and we can't let that failure make us shame induce or give up or quit.
Right. Exactly.
And anxiety and depression are very common conditions among people with substance or behavioral addictions.
Why is that? Anxiety and panic and fear.
Well, part
and
of it is because we're not dealing with our emotions.
Right.
We're putting them away in a behavior or a substance. So we're not dealing with it. So in a sense, we're stunting our emotional development.
Right.
And so you'll see people who've used like long-term substances. I deal with like adults who might be 30 who've been using substances since they were 13 or 14. They really are emotionally a 13-year-old child.
I have heard that. I was just going to ask you about that. You do see that
Absolutely.
Clinically.
Absolutely. And emotionally, and I when we do an assessment, I'm looking at emotional age. Because chronological age, yes, you're 30, but emotionally, you're functioning in that 13 to 14 age range. Why? Because you haven't had to cope with negative feelings or failures or disappointments. You've stuffed them into something.
Right. Into whatever your addiction was.
Which is why we're depressed and we're anxious, because I don't know how to do with this.
So let's say you do have a 30-year-old sitting in front of you and you decide that the emotional age is 13. Is there a way to get them
to fill those gaps? Absolutely. That's the cool thing with our brains, because we've done a lot of talk on the brain. We have neuroplasticity in our brain, which I love the big word.
Neuroplasticity.
The coolest thing about
wow.
the brain is...
Bobby's all about his bell tonight.
He really
in there,
is.
Isn't he? It's because you... there you go. You've been just saying so many amazing things that he's got to make a note of that. Okay, neuroplasticity.
Which means the amazing thing about our brain is that we can make up gaps.
Okay.
So when emotional age or things like that, we can make those gaps up.
That's giving somebody hope right now.
Absolutely, we can make those up and come and catch up to where we need to be. And it's not going to take you that, you know, 17 years to 30. You can do it
right.
in a relatively short amount of time based on those gaps and the work that you're willing to put into it. The quicker you can get those gaps filled.
But again, it takes effort.
But it's relearning everything you didn't learn.
Okay, right.
So we have to go backwards and relearn it like you were 13 emotionally and help you gain those skills and tools and practice, but you will make those gaps up.
Wow, that's encouraging.
To. That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's hope.
Yeah,
that is hope.
I'm telling you, Bobby's on all the little
sound effects
today.
I got to think of something besides the bell, you know?
You're good. Thanks, Bobby. That's great. But, you know, you're right, Dr. Angel. It does give hope to people who have relatives, friends, or themselves that are struggling with addiction, whatever it might be. We need hope. People need hope and realize that there is a chance, a great chance, of turning your life around if you'll put the effort in.
Right. Absolutely. And it's going to take time. It's going to take energy. It's going to take patience.
It's going to take going to some meetings.
It's going to take want and will.
Support system.
Support.
I want you to address that, if you would.
Well, because addiction is kind of created in the absence of our social connections, we pull away. And as we're creating this addiction, we're hiding it. If we still engage with people, the better we can hide it, the more I can still have people in my life. But the worse I am at hiding it, the more I have to pull away. That support's kind of the antidote.
Right.
When they're getting help, because that's what they need. They need to be surrounded because, you know, isolation is secrecy. Secrecy is a trigger to addictive behavior. So that support, not that they need someone holding their hand 24 hours a day, but that support system is super important.
So that's why in the 12-step programs, you have sponsors, mm-hmm. you have people that you're accountable to, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's a good thing because you need to have somebody you can frankly say, hey, I fell off a wagon or whatever the case may be. Or
I'm feeling like I need to
Right.
Absolutely. Because they're going to have those moments. And it might be, you know, at an inconvenient time for your support system, you know, your friends or whatever. But to have the more support we have, the more likely we're to have somebody who could be available if
right.
we get stuck in that moment.
But I really want you to make that point one more time. One of the symptoms of addiction, if you're saying, man, my kid is just never comes out of his bedroom, never ever interacts with our family, doesn't want to go anywhere where we go, doesn't want to have no friends calling anymore, he's alone, he's in his room, he leaves for the evening, I have no idea where he's gone, he won't tell me where he's gone, address that.
That's definitely a warning sign.
I agree.
When we're looking at adolescents, one of the things you really need to look for is change of friends. Because adolescents don't usually always withdraw from social. What they do is change their social people.
Okay.
So I'm going to hang out with people who are doing the same things I'm doing.
Yeah.
And because adolescents are very social by nature.
Yeah.
So a lot of times you'll see this different friends all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And they'll all be kind of the same kind of different friends all of a sudden. So when your kid's not now hanging out with his, you know, lifelong friends that he's had, you know, since he was in Boy Scouts or whatever, and he's changed all these new friends, or she, that is a huge warning flag.
Okay.
For parents.
Good.
So it's not only isolation. It can be that full change of who my social network is.
Right. Another one of those symptoms, I would think, is a young kid who suddenly needs money all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. You know, defeat an addiction.
Yeah.
Usually they cost money. Mm-hmm. And so, absolutely. And so there's a lot of warning signs to look for.
Right.
One of them is kind of like loss of control, and that's using that substance or that behavior. It's when they're doing it more than they want to.
Right.
Or they're doing it for longer than they intended. That's when you get those, oh, I could quit if I want to
kind of thing. Oh, yeah, that attitude.
That's the flag where you know they can't.
Really? You found that?
You really know they can't because that's their way of defending so they can keep doing it. Well, if
right.
I wanted to, I could, but I don't want to.
But I don't want to. I'm fine the way I am. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's kind of that defense mechanism. So it's kind of a flag for the people who love that person. Okay, they're in this a little deeper than
right.
than they think they are. Neglecting other activities. That's another huge flag when, you know, we're spending less time on things that were really important to us, like hanging out with our family or our friends or pursuing hobbies or
right.
interests, the things that were, you know, who made us, and we kind of neglect that. That's a flag that something else can be going on. It doesn't necessarily mean that's addiction. It could be depression. It could be other things, but that's a flag
right.
that we need to look into that a little bit more. If we're dropping attendance at work or school.
Oh, my. Ooh, that's a red flag, isn't it? Yes. And that happens a lot with people that are into drugs and alcohol too much, whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's no consistency.
Right.
A lot of times I'll see some of the teenagers, what they'll do is they'll go to school so they can get on the roster. And then they get their friends that are involved in the drugs or whatever. And then they all leave.
Right.
So you have to kind of be a little more diligent about what's going on. Know who your kids are with. Know who they're hanging with. That's important.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's probably a lot of parents that can benefit from these shows that we're doing right now because we're talking nitty gritty of what happens. And a lot of parents want to bury their heads in the sand, grandparents too. And, oh, my kid would never do that. My kid would never. And it's everybody has got an area of vulnerability, especially in this day and age, kids. don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Because we said it crosses all lines.
It does.
And so anybody could be vulnerable. And it doesn't mean because you're seeing flags, this is happening and you need to go, you know, bounce check the room and dump all their doors. No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean maybe you need to ask some questions or spend some time together.
Sure.
Or, you know, kind of spend a little bit more time in your child's life.
Right.
You know, as they become teenagers, they naturally cleave towards their friends. And there is that natural. They need that.
Right.
That's part of their development. However, we're still parents, and we need to be a part of
exactly.
that life.
Exactly. And if they won't talk with you at all, if they have changed that behavior, isn't that kind of a red flag, too?
That is a huge red flag.
Yeah.
And so one of the things you can do is just get into their world. Whatever it is that they're enjoying in the moment, they're gonna get into their world. A lot of times, parents expect the child to come to their world.
Okay.
And that's not going to happen.
That's a good point, Doctor.
It is, and they do, and they're like, well, he should be able to, you know, come watch the show with me or sit at the table and eat dinner. We're not there. So what's his world or her world look like? So if it's video games, go get on that video game and let them teach you how to play whatever it is that they're in.
Right.
Get in their world, because that's how you're going to know what's going on.
Exactly. Wow, that's really good. Oh, we're running out of time here, Doctor.
We've
got so much more to discuss in the next couple weeks on this series all about addiction. And we encourage our listeners to call a friend, tell somebody about it, that you're listening to this on GoYard. And, you know, tune in and get the questions coming to us, too. GoYard2014@gmail.com is how you can send lengthy questions. And we will try our best to answer those, or the text number 727-888-4171. So, Doctor, we've covered a lot tonight, and we haven't begun to hit the surface of everything we want to cover in the next couple weeks, right?
Absolutely. You know, addiction is kind of like that iceberg. There's the tip, but under that water, there's so much more, and there's so many dynamics.
Right.
And so we're talking truth, and to empower our listeners, we have to do it in truth.
Right. Absolutely. So do a little summary, would you? Kind of back over the main highlights of what we've covered tonight, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Just a couple things.
You know, we're going to reiterate, addiction is not just those illicit drugs off the streets. It can be substances. It can be prescription drugs.
Right.
It can be behaviors.
Right.
An addiction, what makes it addicting is when we feel that impulse to do it and it starts to impair our life.
Right. Impairment.
Absolutely. So we need to look at that. There is no what causes addiction. There is no single cause. Addiction
right.
can come from so many sources and some a spectrum of different things. So there is not that single cause. But the good thing is that there is hope.
Right.
That we can get through this, that it's, you know, it's we're going to take support, but the addict isn't going to do it different until they choose to do it different.
Right.
We can love them, we could want it for them, but they have to want it for himself or herself.
Exactly. So we're going to explore that whole concept more in the next couple weeks, and the things that happen that to start causing people to want to be different.
Absolutely.
And we're going to talk about that next week. So tune in to Go Yard and listen to this new series all about addiction. And as always, I am very grateful for your expertise, Dr. Angel Falzoni, your years of counseling, and what you currently do now, working with therapists and a lot of families and all of this. So you're right there in the trenches working, and we appreciate that. So stay tuned, because there's more coming up. And if you just heard part of the show tonight, then this weekend, StarCom Radio Network, four words, StarComRadioNetwork.com. We are on every weekend. This show, it is on Saturday and Sunday, repeated at noon Eastern time, 12 o'clock Eastern. You can catch this show again, and you can go to our website, GoYard2014.com. .org, and you can also email us goyard2014@gmail.com and communicate with us. And this has been
Dr. Angel
and Mama Mac from Go Yard, and see you next week, gang.
Good night.
Have a great one.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.